Hi, welcome to episode 434 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott. And isn't it time we put a podcaster on some U.S. currency? Screw you, Andrew Jackson. All you ever did was kill Indians, and you never had anything to say about secret wars. Today, the 434th issue of the Fantastic Four. It's Fantastic Four, Volume 3, Number 5, if you will, from May 1998. Broken Reed by Scott Lobdell, Chris Claremont, and Salvador La Roca. The story starts on a plane where the passengers seem to be freaking out, and in a good way. Like, they're happy that they're joined by members of the Fantastic Four on their plane. And why are the FF flying commercial? They have their own planes. It says the Pogo plane was out of service. But they also have rockets and a Fantastic Car. And why are the other passengers so happy? Whenever the FF are around, bad things happen. I'd rather ride on a plane with the ISIS fan club. You get in these long arguments where they claim that ISIS was the best part of the ISIS Shazam Power Hour. You just can't reason with ISIS fans. They're crazy. Everyone knows that Shazam was better. Of course, the fun ends when a group of guys whip out machine guns and tell everyone not to move. I remember those pre-9/11 days when you could just include your machine guns in your carry-on baggage, and you didn't have to check them. They say they're members of the Genosian Freedom Brigade, and they want the great powers to take action against their oppressive government, or they're going to kill everyone. Now, did these guys not notice they were getting on the plane with the Fantastic Four? They're standing in the terminal, waiting to board the plane, and they didn't notice a big orange rock monster? Or did they notice, but they're just too cheap to buy tickets on another flight? So Reed and Ben, they seem to be the only two members of the FF on board, go over and introduce themselves to the hijackers, rather calmly, and ask them to hand over their guns. In another part of the plane, another couple of hijackers hear gunfire, and they rush off, and they see that the Thing has subdued their fellow hijacker. They recognize Ben as an American superhero. How did they not see him when they were getting on the plane? Don't the hijackers and superheroes usually have to board at the same time? First, the people in the wheelchairs and children in strollers, then superheroes and hijackers, and then everyone else. One hijacker grabs a woman, aims a gun at her head, and says to Ben, "You even twitch, monster, and I'll fire." And then a big blue fist comes out and punches the hijackers across their faces, and Reed emerges from one of the overhead compartments. Now, did Reed pay for his own ticket, or did he just count as one of Ben's carry-on bags? So the hijackers are defeated, and this one woman jumps in and gives Reed a big kiss on the lips. And Ben's like, "Just wait till I tell Susie Q." Reed replies, "You do, Ben Grimm, you die." Next, we fast forward over to Stockholm, Sweden, home to the greatest museum in the world, ABBA, the museum. And we see that the bad guy Crucible is there, lurking on a rooftop, and he's got some Tibetan monks there serving him, and the photographer and reporter from previous issues have been turned into building gargoyles. I thought he was planning some horrible fate for them, but being a building gargoyle, that sounds like fun. He shatters the stone around their heads, and we can see their faces. Miss Aguirre, the reporter, wants to know what he's done to them. Crucible tells them that he had to change them into gargoyles because people are hard to smuggle through immigration? Gargoyles, considerably less so. So wait a minute. Instead of landing at some private airstrip, Crucible landed at the airport, he stood in line, and he went through customs? Dressed like that? "Do you have anything to claim?" "No, I don't have any hostages to claim, just these two gargoyles." I don't think Dr. Doom ever goes through customs. So the bad guy goes on to say that he is the crucible in which a new and glorious age for humanity begins. And he wants the assistance of the reporter and the photographer to identify and help destroy his enemies. Or they can spend eternity as gargoyles. "Your life or your soul," Make your choice, he commands them. What if they disagree? What if one says life and the other one says soul? So Ben and Reed arrive at the airport, and there's a limo driver there to greet them, and does greet them by giving Reed a big kiss. And yes, the limo driver is an attractive woman. What the hell is going on? Has Reed now gained the powers of Star Fox? Everywhere he goes, he's got hot women throwing themselves at him. Reed introduces the limo driver to Ben. Her name is Alyssa Moy. Ben says her name rings a bell. They head out to the car, and it's an old fancy 1930s type car, which Reed and Alyssa once found in a scrap heap, and then they made a deal with the owner that if they fixed up the car, they could keep it. It's not a very good deal for the owner, is it? Apparently, Reed and Alyssa may be former lovers? I'm surprised it took so long to introduce any of Reed's former girlfriends, considering his age. He must have a few out there. So Reed and Alyssa fixed up this car. They took it on a 10-week road race from London to Cape Town, which they didn't win. And we see some flashbacks to the road race, and their car is being shot at by a plane. What the hell kind of race is that? I'll tell you what, if they start adding planes with guns to shoot at the cars in NASCAR races, I'm going to start watching. That would be great. So back at FF headquarters, in the warehouse, Johnny is just relaxing on the couch. Franklin is on the floor playing with his toys. And Sue is at her desk, paying her bills on the PC. I just hope she's not using the Torino XL. And the phone rings, and it's Reed calling from the car. Sue hears screaming, coming from Ben, who is not a fan of Alyssa's driving. Outside the car, we see Gordon and Isabel, the photographer and reporter. They have obviously accepted Crucible's offer, and Gordon says he feels like a Judas. So later, at their hotel, Reed and Ben are getting ready to a conference, and they're dressed up nice, and Alicia shows up and she's wearing a sexy dress. Next, Ben pulls out these four tubes and puts them on the floor and activates them, and they turn into this big machine. I guess it's like using Ant-Man technology or something to make the thing smaller and then make it bigger, but I don't even know what the device is, and I'm surprised that Chris Claremont doesn't include a long-winded caption explaining what it is. So they go to the conference, which is on cosmic rays, and guess who else shows up? Yeah, it's Crucible, only he's not wearing a tux. He's got his blue and red outfit on with a mask and a big red cape. He breaks into the room while riding atop a rock that comes up out of the floor, and he says that he's there to claim his birthright and lay waste to anyone who dare oppose him. He is humanity's salvation. He is Crucible. And all the people in the room are knocked out, except for Reed. So Reed says he's heard that kind of crap before, and he punches Crucible in the face, and Crucible was holding some kind of device, which Reed rips from his hand. Crucible calls Reed his greatest foe. Really? And Reed says he's no gunslinger, and this isn't the OK Corral, and he hits a button on his outfit. And Ben busts through a wall. He couldn't use a door? And Alyssa is falling right behind, even though Ben tells her to stay back. Reed has hold of Crucible, and he gives Ben that little device to take care of. And Ben tosses it out the window. Reed asks, "What did you do?" "Took care of the bomb, like you asked," Ben replied. Reed says he just wanted Ben to hold on to it. He could examine it later. It wasn't a bomb. He's gonna go have to find it now. I'm not sure why he gave it to Ben to hold on to anyway. Ben is a lot more useful at clobbering, and not so good at doing anything with technological whatchamacallits. Alyssa runs out the door, saying that she'll use her car to get the device, and Ben joins her, leaving Reed alone to fight Crucible. Shouldn't they defeat the bad guy first, before Ben runs out of the room? Out by the car, Alyssa puts on goggles, which is never a good sign when you're about to get into someone's car, and once in, the damn thing starts to fly. Back inside, Reed is fighting Crucible all by himself, and during the fight, they note these similarities between Crucible and Dr. Doom. Crucible has an iron mask, Dr. Doom has an iron mask, but Crucible says they have a lot in common, but they are nothing alike. He says he is the fulfillment of the potential, the bright and blinding promise that he lets slip away? I guess he's talking about Dr. Doom? And to prove that, he's going to defeat Doom's greatest enemy. And he's whipping Reed around, and Reed seems like he's in bad shape. Back with Ben and Alyssa, they find that little device and they scoop it up. And then over with Reed, He's feeling terrible and having a hard time maintaining his body's physical, basic physical coherence. I feel that same way every morning when I wake up. But he manages to grab Crucible by the head and pull him over. "The greater the challenge, the sweeter the triumph," Crucible proclaims. Ben is analyzing the device, and he's like, "Oh, this ain't no bomb." Took him a long time to figure out that it wasn't a bomb, even though Reed says it wasn't a bomb. Alyssa says it looks like some kind of recording and amplification system. And then she says it looks like a scanner. Well, what is it? A recording and amplification system or a scanner? I'm not sure. Inside, Reed goes nuts, and he starts beating the crap out of Crucible, and he says, "I'm gonna find a way to beat you. Beat you!" That's exactly what he says, which is a very un-Reed-like thing for him to say. Ben asks Alyssa what kind of scanner it is, and she says it's very sophisticated and generates a kind of technological telepathy, like it can probe minds. So the flying car returns to the convention center, the hotel, and there are ambulances out front, and people are streaming out the door, and they notice there's lots of injured people. And Alyssa says that Crucible has decimated the world's scientific community, right when they may need it the most. Inside, they find Reed all beaten up and battered, but victorious. Ben lifts him up and Reed says, "I beat him real good. I beat him real good." What kind of dialogue is this for Reed Richards? "I beat him real good. I'm going to beat you." And so that's it for this issue. Once again, a typical Scott Lobdell plot. They introduce a new villain, but they don't explain who he is and what he's doing, what his motivations are, or anything. It's terrible. Of course, unlike Iconoclast, we will see Crucible again later. And we find out that we have seen him before, way back during the Lee Kirby run, before he acquired the fancy outfit. More on that in a later issue. So that's all I have for now. If you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. I don't ever want to see you again. I don't